Good morning. Today's Bible reading is from Matthew 21, verses 28 to 32. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said to the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." Thank you.
There are some particularly hard parts of the Bible. And I think if you actually take this part quite seriously, it's a really, really tough bit, because it's saying the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. Think about that. Being somebody who is committed to religion, and you've spent your whole life in a religious context, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they were at the synagogues every Saturday, they were at the temple regularly, they were doing all the things that they thought God had asked them to do, and Jesus turns around and says, "You know what? Those people that you think are the worst of the worst, they are entering the kingdom before you." So I wonder what it is about them where they might be closer to the kingdom, to us. A couple of years ago, in 2019, I had a student called Emma. Emma had written this book, The Stripper Next Door. It's a story about the life of being a stripper and her whole career. So because she'd written the book, I thought, I'll buy it. So I went online and I bought the book and I read the book and I took it to her the next week. And I said, "Oh, I read your book. What an awesome book." You know, and she wrote this for me. "Dear Peter, thank you so much for being an incredible trainer. It's not what you do, it's how you do it." And it was really nice to know that somebody from a particular background felt safe in the environment that we were training. So I had her for 10 weeks while we were doing this course. But this is the bit that really struck me when I read the book. She said, "When I was honest, everything I'd known wasn't really working for me anymore. I was tired, I was burnt out, my body was wrecked. I felt like J.R. Tolkien so beautifully described it, thin, like butter that has been scraped over too much bread. But I had no idea what to do about it." I don't know if you've ever talked to people from a prostitute background. We've had three that I know of in the churches that we've worked in. Talking about being strippers or prostitutes or coming from any of those kind of backgrounds. Or talking to people who have lived in homelessness, you know, haven't done all that for the years that I did it. And you have conversations with them, and they are the people who have really, really struggled in life. And the thing that, when I come to the Beatitudes, to me the Beatitudes speak out what it means for often for the people coming from those backgrounds. The Beatitudes say, "Blessed are those who acknowledge their evil desires. Blessed are those who are heartbroken for their failings. Blessed are those who know they're powerless. Blessed are those who hunger to do better." You know, often we'll look at people who are not coping with life as well and we judge them. But when you have a conversation, there is no need to tell them what they've done wrong. They have this utter depth of understanding at the very heart of their being. You talk to somebody who's struggling to bring up their children, you know, with all sorts of poverty and abuse and all sorts of things. They know they're not living up to the expectation that really they need to, their own expectation let alone societies. You don't have to put them down. They already know that there's this evil. Talk to somebody who's struggling with alcohol or addiction or drugs or whatever. They know that it's not the thing that they want in their lives, and they're heartbroken for their failings. Somebody who's stolen from their friends to pay for their addiction. They understand their brokenness. They understand that they're powerless. They hunger to do better, but for many of them, they just go, there's nothing I can do. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about when he says, they are entering the kingdom of God before us. Because before you can enter the kingdom of God, you've got to understand the utter brokenness of your own life, the utter inability to really to make any significant difference, that we need somebody who will come along beside us. Those tax collectors and prostitutes are entering or knocking on the kingdom of God, but it's really important not to get this part of Scripture wrong either. Says John came along and speak of righteousness, and they entered because they believed him. So it wasn't just that they understood their brokenness. They went one step beyond that, and they believed John's answer for their righteousness. That's where that song, "To Obey is Better Than Sacrifice." Really easy to give of our wealth and give of our time and give of everything. And we do all the outward things, but are we really obeying what God has called us to? So last week we talked about hearing God's voice. And this bit's saying you've got to go beyond hearing, you've got to go to the point of obeying. In James, it tells us, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Romans, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. It speaks of the fact that a sacrifice is painful. And a living sacrifice is one that says, I will obey irrespective of the cost of that obedience. Remember years ago when we were at church in the marketplace, we had a young guy come in called Yudon. Yudon was ex-military. Yudon was a unique individual, an absolute unique individual. Had been in the military for a while, was really into weightlifting, was really into taekwondo and all that kind of stuff. He was a man's man. And he would tell you that he was a man's man, and you knew he was a man's man, and he wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of Yudon. He was a tough, kind of obscene, very outspoken. He lived life to the full. He did everything that he was in the King's Cross, living in that area. So he did everything King's Cross had to offer. And there were three of us who got together. It was a guy called Scott Thompson, a wonderful friend of ours. Myself and Yudon, and we met in this group of three. And in our group of three, you had to read 28 chapters of the Bible every week. Okay? So you picked a part of the Bible, say 1 Corinthians, and you'd all have to read it 2.5 times, to get up to 28 chapters of the week. If any one person didn't read the 28 chapters, guess what we had to read next week? We all had to read exactly the same until we'd all got 28 chapters on the same week. So that could take a while, But the advantage was we were getting deep into the Word of God, and then we'd come together and we'd share what we'd learnt, and then we'd ask each other these accountability questions. And each one of us would have to confess what the thing we were struggling with, whether it was pornography or dealing with our money or swearing or whatever it was, and each person would be looked in the eye and said, how have you gone with that this week? And the last question was, have you lied to me today? It was hardcore. This guy now works for the church, his wife works for the church, he's got three amazing young kids. And he rang me up a couple of months ago, and he's just got an amazing testimony about the change that God has brought in his life, because he was willing to obey as to sacrifice. That bit, to obey instead of sacrifice, comes from 1 Samuel. I don't know if you know the story, but Samuel comes to Saul and says, you are to go and kill all the Amalekites and destroy everything that they have. And Saul goes in and he captures the Amalekites and he hears the bleating of sheep and he thinks, I'll keep the best of it. And he doesn't destroy everything that God told him to. And Samuel the prophet comes to him and says, I can hear the bleating of sheep. What have you done? And Saul said, I've saved the best for sacrifice. I will sacrifice all the best of it to God. And Samuel comes along and says, no. You need to obey what God, because the sacrifice you bring afterwards is of no value. Sacrifice that doesn't follow obedience is not really sacrifice at all. And I want to just ask the question, because I think we need to in the church. Are we obeying, or are we building and protecting edifices and reputations? Are we more concerned about the reputation of the church? Are we more concerned about the reputation of us and what we're building than we are building the kingdom of God? Let me have a go at a couple of people, okay? Not because I have a problem with who they are as individuals, but I think the primary problem that the community has with the church today is they see people like Brian Huskin and Cardinal Pell protecting the church. Irrespective of everything you think about them and what they've done, essentially at some point they've put the church above doing that which was right. And sometimes we are far too concerned about our perceived character than actually going and doing the things that God has called us to do. I love this quote from John Wooden, who is an amazing basketball coach in America. The greatest failure of all is the failure to act when action is needed. It's at that point where there is need, where we, the people of God, need to step up and sacrifice. Later on in Matthew, it talks about what does it mean to really be the kingdom of God. Come you who are blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Which part or amount of our life is actually dedicated to this? When I first started preaching here, 6 months ago, doesn't time go quick, 7 months ago, I began talking about the kingdom of God, Tony Campolo. I was talking to somebody in the middle of the week, and we've been practicing this DNA group thing that I've been talking about. And we practiced it on Tuesday with a couple of people turned up. We had practiced it on Wednesday. Thursday morning, I ran and rewrote the whole thing because the way we work didn't work. But we're committed to learning to go deeper and grow with one another. And I said to Nick on Tuesday, I said, we get the kingdom of God wrong because we don't know how to celebrate enough. We don't have enough parties. Remember in Deuteronomy 14, it says, take your first tithe, go buy as much food and drink as you want and have a week-long party. We somehow think that the kingdom of God is about doing all the right things, and we forget it's about the celebration of life, and it's the celebration of life with others that we include in. Remember that story where Jesus said, go and get them from the highways and the byways and bring them in and do something to celebrate life. That's what it means to obey God. That's what it means to sacrifice. It means to invite in those who might not be normally invited in, and it means investing your time and resources. Now, frankly, if you can't afford to throw a party, I would rather you didn't give any money to the church. I would rather you kept your tithe and you just went and had a party, because I think that's more biblical, to go and celebrate life with people And I frankly, I think after doing that, you enjoy life so much that you don't need to spend your money on doing a whole lot of other things that you might need to do. Let's, you know, enjoy the kingdom of God and to take a party to the world in which we live. Now, let me just finish with this. Obeying God means three things, if we're going to obey rather than sacrifice. Obeying to love God. So what does that mean for you? What's the thing that comes to mind when you think of what do I need to do to obey God? Obeying means to love your neighbour. I was saying to somebody earlier on, we are in a house at the moment. We know more of our neighbours now than we ever have in any other place we've lived in. It's quite astounding. Because it's a bit of a cul-de-sac, every time you go out, somebody comes out and finds you and has a conversation. And it's just wonderful to have, you know, to be actually building relationships with your community. But also, you know, going to the, being involved at the local bar or whatever it is, building relationships in that community is an amazing thing. And lastly, what does it mean to love yourself? You know, we can't be down on ourselves. We've got to understand who we are. And so to sacrificially use our resources and our time to do those things. We're gonna go into communion in just a moment. And we're going to play that song by Keith Green. Did it feel like we went back into the 70s when we did that song? You know, some of us feel like that was a great... We're not going to have the talking part he says at the beginning. We're just going to do the song. To obey is better than sacrifice. And then as that song plays, Linda and I will just distribute the emblems. And let's just think, what does it mean for us to come and obey? What does it mean for you? What does it mean for me? Maybe it means some confession. Maybe it means reaching out to somebody. You know, Trish has invited us to a barbecue next week and we're having a meeting with a group of people. That's what it means to be the kingdom of God, you know, to spend time with one another. So let's play that song and then as we get through it, we'll start to distribute the emblems.
I don't want your sacrifice. I want your obedience.
To obey is better than sacrifice. I don't need your money. I want your life. And I hear you say that I'm coming back soon. But you act like I'll never return. Well, you speak of grace and my love so sweet. How you thrive on milk but reject my meat. And I can't help weeping. If you keep on ignoring my word, well, you pray to prosper and succeed, but your flesh is something I just can't feed. Sundays and Wednesday nights. 'Cause if you can't come to me,